This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New Horizons. No boundaries.
This is Voices of Soul with Gene and Lori. Balancing yin, yang, and inner child to create a harmonious family.
The stars lean down to kiss you.
Call now. 248-545-SOUL. CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Voices of Soul, although today is Intuitive Soul because Jean Adrian isn't with us. She will be back next week where we will take call-ins like we normally do. Today I have with me Helen Goldstein, and we're talking a little bit about her new program, which is the Workplace Wellness Institute. And also, I just want to talk a little bit about, I guess, you know, we talked briefly about why you got into this program, but really why you got into the whole wellness program. And yeah, and just go on from there, and maybe talk a little bit about the yoga industry as an industry, because there's a lot of things going on that are a little fine. I mean, I find, as myself, you know, yoga varies so incredibly much compared with, you know, who the teacher is. And sometimes you get a really great teacher, and sometimes, you know, you get teachers that don't seem to be knowing what you need to get the most out of what you're there for, which, you know, yoga is all about improving your spine so that you can get the energy flowing properly so that your kundalini can move. And it's all about energy, where some seem to take it where they don't do any breath work and they don't, you know, it's just a posture, and sometimes it's a fast posture and sometimes it's a really slow. It's a very interesting field for sure, and a lot of variation. So why don't we talk first about why you came into yoga, like what kind of brought you in? And I think you have a story with your parents as well. So I'm going to pass it over to you.
Thanks, Lori. Well, what brought me into yoga? I actually started practicing yoga. My kids were born. I have twins. They were born in 1973. And I was working for British Airways in Toronto. And just right after I got pregnant, I started taking yoga. And because somehow I thought it would be a good idea. And, of course, it wasn't very easy to find. And it was in a funky basement with shag carpeting that was a little bit scary, you know, the 70s. And I remember my doctor saying, oh, no, you can't do yoga. You're pregnant. You can't do yoga. And I thought, oh, well, you know, to me, it would seem to be a good idea. But I stopped doing it and had my babies. And in 1979, just like a lot of, I traveled through Southeast Asia and took my kids to Bali, where they had their sixth birthday in 79. And I was sort of, I'm going to say, maybe a bit of a hippie mom, and stayed in ashrams in India, lived in them during at that time in 79, and went on a very strong spiritual path. My children grew up with Tibetan lamas coming to visit. When they were leaving Tibet, they would go via India, and then often come to Toronto because there was a huge Tibetan community just outside of Toronto, and they came and stayed with us. So this is a long life for me of being involved in the whole spiritual community, and it was just part of my life. I did Tai Chi and didn't really go back to yoga. For a few years, I became a high-powered real estate agent and worked in this fantastic company in the 80s where, you know, it was lots of fun and lots going on. And I worked for a company that there were a lot of gay men. It was owned by a gay man. And the whole AIDS thing really wiped out a lot of my very good friends. And I started looking at just the whole thing about death, what it means to live. And a lot of my friends were spiritual at that time. I think when you're faced with the fact that you're going to die at 30, you do look at things very differently. And not to say that we weren't partying, because we sure were. There was that in between of partying and doing a lot of seminars. And, you know, all the time that I was selling real estate, I was doing a lot of spiritual work. So it was kind of an interesting time, and I like to say that my clients were heads with bread. I had people who were in the arts and entertainment and a lot of writers, you know, people who were well known in Canada. And I could deal with them because I understood a little bit about energy in a space, and I understood how they thought. So I was, you know, happily married with two kids, living in a big house and having a pager, had a pager, nice car, dressed nice, really wonderful, wonderful life. And I got sick. I went to Japan for 5 weeks, and I don't know where it happened, but I got this very rare form of hepatitis. It was actually very rare. It took a long time to diagnose. And I was flat on my back, and I mean flat for 6 months and sick for 2 years. So before that, just like everybody else, I was doing aerobics and going for the burn and, you know, did aerobics 5-6 times a week, and I was an aerobics nut and was working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And the thing that kept me going was doing aerobics. And I found as I started to be able to get out of bed that the one thing that I could do was yoga, which I hadn't done for many, many years. So I went back to doing very simple postures, and I started to get better. And I started to feel better and better and better. And I know there is no question that a combination of good naturopathic help and yoga and meditation and breath work and visualization brought me back to health. Because really and truly, it was a horrible, horrible time. I lost my hair, and I'd never had acne as a teenager. I really looked sick, and I believed that I was dying, but nobody was telling me. That's how bad it was. And so yoga really helped me. And at that time, I believe that must have been 80. It wasn't even, I don't even remember. Maybe it was 85, something, 1985, 80. Anyways, it was the late 80s. I can't quite remember. There weren't a lot of yoga studios to go to. And I found that I wanted, once I started to get better, 2 years on, when I could actually move around and get in a car and go from one place to another, I was doing a gentle kind of Kripalu style of yoga, which is meditation and movement, once or twice a week. And then I was doing Raja yoga, which is also a very beautiful yoga, which really is more about training the brain. That's what I found. And then Bikram yoga had just appeared in Toronto. So I was doing Bikram yoga as well. So I was running around to three yoga studios and just feeling like, really, wow, this is good. And then I got sick again because I went back to work like in a crazy way again, and just couldn't seem to figure out a way to moderate my life. It was out of control, and I got sick again. Not as bad, but sick. So I decided to go to Kripalu. And Kripalu is a yoga retreat in Massachusetts, and I decided to do the spiritual lifestyle training, which is actually a very funny way to say that for 3.5 months I scrubbed toilets, made beds, and did yoga every day and meditated every day. I lived in a dorm with 100 women, and it was a pretty interesting life. And, you know, I shared a bathroom with that was maybe three times the size of the bathroom I had at home. I had a pretty nice setup at home. So here I am living in a dorm, and, you know, I never really did much housework. I always had a cleaning lady come in because I was too busy. So it was a big equalizer when you're cleaning toilets with a person who's a judge, a woman who's a judge, and another woman who's homeless. So it's a very interesting experience. And again, I felt incredible, just so healthy, so great. And while I was there, this was 1994, Deepak Chopra would come in regularly. He was a really good friend of the guru's. And he would speak to a small group of 25 residents. It was really amazing. He wasn't quite Deepak Chopra at that point. and Barbara Marx Hubbard came in. I mean, we had some amazing people come in, and just because it was a small group of us doing this. And before I left my 3.5 month spiritual lifestyle training, the guru, who, and I'm not a guru follower, but I have to say this man was pretty charismatic and amazing. He's no longer there. Said to me, took me aside and said, I would like you to do the yoga teacher training. And he didn't say, I want you to be a yoga teacher. He said, I want you to do the yoga teacher training. And I said, okay, because when the guru tells you to do something, you do it. Even if you're not a guru follower, you still pay attention. And I said, okay, I'll do that. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a yoga teacher. I'll do the training. And I came back a few months later and did the training, and it was an amazing experience. People from all over the world, different levels of health and ability. It was amazing. And then I left and came home, and every time I'd come home, it would be harder and harder. I had a hard time with going to a restaurant and spending $10 for a salad with four leaves on it. And just the life that I saw there, which was really simple, and I saw so many people struggling financially, and you know, the life that I had back home, and I was the principal breadwinner, I made the money. It didn't feel good. It really didn't feel good. And I was working hardly at all. I was working maybe 15, 20 hours a week. I decided that I wanted to become a landscape designer. I was taking courses to do that. And in my garden, in mud, and every so often somebody would call and say, come list my house. And I wouldn't really want to do it, but I'd go. And there I was, my last year of selling real estate. I made more money than I ever had in my life, working less and less interested. So there was a real pull for me to stay, but I knew that I just didn't want to do it anymore. And I continued going to three different studios, running all over the city. And one day I was walking by a landmark in Toronto, the Medical Arts Building right downtown near the university. And I saw for rent sign, and do not even ask me why, I went in and I rented a room to open up a yoga studio. It was completely crazy. I had no training in running a business. I didn't even tell the cleaning lady what to do. I mean, that's how little I was involved with ever having staff or having a bunch of people working with me. And less than a month, opened a yoga studio, and I was doing yoga with a couple of people who were amazing practitioners. One woman who had never really taught yoga. She'd substituted for the teacher when he was away, but she certainly wasn't a yoga teacher, but an amazing practice. And so I hired her to teach yoga, and she said, I don't know how to teach yoga. I said, you'll learn. And I just hired people who I thought were great teachers, because there weren't really that many teachers in Toronto at that point. It was 1995. So I opened up the studio, and lo and behold, it was really, really busy. It was like within 6 months, it was packed. And part of that was because we were near some luxury hotels, and a lot of the people that were that would come in were Hollywood actors and actresses who you would absolutely know, and rock stars who were staying at the luxury hotels, and they came in and did yoga. So it became the place really quickly, sort of a cool kind of place to do yoga. And what I did, which was unheard of, nobody had ever done this, for sure not in Canada, and I'm pretty sure not in North America at the time, was I brought in different styles of yoga with my own experience of running to three different studios and how complicated and expensive and confusing it got. I brought in five or six different styles of yoga, and then I brought in pre- and postnatal, and dance, belly dance, and then Pilates, which was really in its infancy. And then we started doing ecstatic dance with drumming. And this was 1995 and 96. So think about where, you know, what it was like 17 years ago. at that point, if there weren't any studios that had that combination, and now everybody seems to be doing it. So it was just great. It went really well, and it just was a center for people to come and meet like-minded people, and we had tea and oranges and a hangout, and people met roommates and got jobs, and it just became a community, and that's exactly what I wanted, because really, if one were to ask me what I'm best at, it's networking, it's introducing people to one another, it's creating community, and I was in heaven, and secretly, but not so secretly, because I'm telling you, I really believed that I was in a reincarnated abbess of a Tibetan monastery or something, because it just came so naturally for me to greet people and to create this incredible atmosphere. And I was teaching at the time, and so I think I started with maybe 5 teachers, and my first brochure, which I still have, is like woefully terrible, very bad typos and not particularly well designed, because you know that's what happens when you open up a business in less than a month and you have to get the word out. I don't even know how we got the word out. There was no Facebook or social media. It just sort of happened organically. And so we were busy, and I just became more and more involved in this incredible world. I was so lucky because we had amazing teachers come in. Sharon Gannon and David Life from Jiva Mukti in New York came and did a workshop for us, and some of the best teachers internationally and locally taught at the studio. What a wonderful experience.
It sounds like it, which is cool. All right, so we are going to go to our last break. You're listening to Voices of Soul, although it's on Intuitive Soul. And we have Helen Goldstein with us. Helen, if you have questions for Helen, please give her a call and or give her an email, which is yogini, so yogini at gmail.com. Oh, it's Yogini Helen? Ah, Yogini Helen, I'm sorry. So Yogini Helen at gmail.com. H-E-L-E-N, yes. And you're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD. At AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Thank you.
This is CBS Radio's The New Sky, New Horizons, No Boundaries.
This is Voices of Soul with Gene and Lori, balancing yin, yang, and inner child to create a harmonious family.
The more I see, the less I know. Call now 248-545-SOUL. CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Voices of Soul. Jean Adrian will join us next week for our regular programming. But today I have Helen Goldstein with us. And we've been talking about yoga. We've been talking about her new workplace wellness program that she's going to be starting up in the new year. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about where you see yoga going, but also, you know, maybe giving people a little bit of hint on, you know, to know whether they're with a good teacher or a good studio.
Well, thanks for giving me this opportunity, because this is really close to my heart. I have, as part of my archives, a picture, a postcard of a naked woman in yoga posture, and it's called Nude Yoga. It's from South America, and I thought, this is really interesting. This is really interesting. You know, I mean, I know that in India people didn't wear a lot of clothes, but that's because it's hot. Anyways, where do I see – let me just quickly talk about where I see yoga going. And I will say that I have a lot of concern and a lot of hope. So let me talk about the hope part first. What I'm seeing is more people doing yoga, which is absolutely going to shift the energy in this world. There's no question. More people interested in spirituality. And because there's so many different kinds of yoga for them to do, it's easier for them to pick the one that works for them. And I remember when I first opened, it was all women, and now we started getting guys, but really basically it was guys who wanted to pick up women. And now it's people who are genuinely interested in changing themselves and changing the world. So that's, to me, a very positive thing. And I always say it doesn't matter what you do as long as you do it. So I'm just thrilled to see that. On a more challenging side, what I also see are large Walmart-like corporations coming in and taking over and opening up mega studios, lots of gyms where the culture is just not right. You know, people are grunting in the next room and you know, you're hearing equipment and people are boxing in the next room. So yoga sort of is like a money thing, but nobody really gets that you're not going to make a lot of money at yoga. Where you make money is in the teacher training, because there's very little money really to be made. People paying $10 to $15 for a class. It's in the trainings. So I'm seeing big companies coming in, wiping out the little studios. That I find very alarming. And I'm seeing way too many teachers graduating who are not equipped to be taking yoga teacher training, and yoga studios that are saying, oh, come in on a Friday. It doesn't matter if you've never done yoga in your life. And by Sunday, we will give you your yoga teacher certificate, and it's X amount of dollars. And it's a mill. And people are being churned out. And it's to me, very, very upsetting, because we've got people out there who really don't know what they're doing. And therefore, there's a lot of injuries, which is why the whole restorative yoga movement is getting bigger and bigger. People going to take yoga for injuries that they've received from taking yoga, which is kind of interesting. So I'm a little worried about the quality of people that I see coming out of teacher training. And of course, that's not to say all of them. And the people, as I mentioned before, who are coming out expecting to get work, and there's absolutely no work because too many people are being trained. And they have to be able to create their own work, which is what the Workplace Wellness Institute is about. Let them create their own work. So I'm those are my concerns. I may have a lot more, but I don't have a lot of time, and I do want to talk about what, as a student, you would want to look for in a good studio and in a good teacher. First of all, I'd say the most important thing is that you find a class where the teacher pays attention to you. you know, that when they walk into the room, they say, are there injuries? This is how you modify with injuries, that there is an awareness that not everybody is going to be a graduate of Cirque du Soleil. You know, there are people that can barely touch their knees, let alone toes. And a teacher who understands that it's really important to modify whatever they're teaching according to who's in the room. And it's really not necessary to show off what an amazing yogi they are and show off. And I've seen that. Like, I've walked into a room where the teacher has their eyes closed, is teaching with eyes closed. How can you possibly teach a room of people when you aren't looking at them? It doesn't make sense, but somehow it does to them. So use your common sense. If you're standing in a room and the teacher's got is not paying attention to you, is too busy showing off, or is not aware of what's going on in a room, a teacher should have four sets of eyes, really, an awareness. And it's not necessary for them to be constantly showing you the posture. It's you want them to be assisting you. You want them to be there for you and helping you make the practice better for you. And available after the class or before the class to talk to you about the practice and where you should be going. So I am going to let Lori sign off in a moment, but please feel free to email me at yogini Helen@gmail.com if you have any questions that you want to ask me, not too personal, please. And about the Workplace Wellness webinar in January, or anything that you'd like to ask me within reason, I'd be very happy to respond. And I want to say once again how happy I am to be here sitting in front of Lori and being part of this wonderful community. And I thank you so much for listening today. Namaste.
Thanks, Helen. It's been a pleasure. So you've got her email. Check her out on Facebook. Definitely on Facebook. Do you have any groups? Or, well, go to Facebook. You can find it from there. LinkedIn. Oh, yes, LinkedIn for sure. You're listening to Voices of Soul. Jean Adrian will be back with us next week. You've been listening with Helen Goldstein and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.